Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
40 O Street, as we see, something must be going on downtown. We got a lot of traffic out here in front of us at about 11th and O. But we are brought to you by the Mercado. Three locations here in Lincoln, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Audremont / Old Cheney, and one up in Omaha, 168th and Maple. It's going to be really good grilling weather next week, as long as the wind doesn't gust in here like it did the last couple days. Going to get a couple days next week in the low 60s, and I'll see mid to high 50s as well. So fire it up. Anytime you can grill this close to Christmas, and heck, you might be able to grill on Christmas Day.
Woo!
Might as well.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a Christmas present in and of itself. Yeah, you know, fire that puppy up.
Yeah, everybody's sleeping. I'm on the grill. Go ahead, open the presents. I got to do my thing.
Some people might try to go golf, sneak onto their local course. Yeah. That's not for me. I'll fire up that trusty grill.
Fire up that grill. But what we're going to fire up right now with the text line, we were just thinking, you know, obviously with the bowl game coming up, you obviously the news of the day out of Husker land. We'll get into some audio from Matt Rhule because I think there's some telling things in there. But Malcolm Hartsog jumped in the portal. Will he be the only one, or what? Who will be the next big name in there? Obviously, we've got two big names in there, right? You got Dylan and Hartsog, and who'll be next? I mean, obviously, you wish they all would stay, and it just always very interesting. I think you jump in the portal for three reasons. Take money out of it, because that's always, you know, going to be a factor. But one, you want an opportunity to play and feel like, you know, there's just not a clear pathway immediately to get on the field. Number two, you jump in the portal to get the team that you're presently on to re-up. And I don't think they do that anymore.
Well, it just happened last year.
Yeah, but they changed the portal date to January. So they, as you saw with a lot of other schools and teams, they start re-signing. And I think even Coach Rhule talked about it, or somebody talked about it. They were in the process of re-signing players on that break from Iowa to right now.
Full practice,
So I think that generally doesn't happen. Now, could they jump back in January? I'm sure, but I'm sure they would have to give – the contracts do, you have to give back some of the money. So that, and then – number three, you just don't like the situation, and you might have, you know, and the situation is a new coach like Kansas State, Iowa State, and Penn State, and so forth and so on. Or you're being told, hey, I'm bringing in three guys at your position. You can stay if you want. Love to have you around, but these guys are going to play. And that happens everywhere. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen at Nebraska with some coaching turnover. I don't think they would ever run people off, but I think with coaching turnover, you know, some things change. Heck, even on, well, blocking schemes will change offensively. The defensive scheme is different. So you might have been at second or third string in the 3-3-5. You might have to go back to a regular stack linebacker. Now you might be third or fourth team, and now you're trying to figure out a way, how do I, because it's all projection in your mind on how I can get on the travel roster. Because the home game, everybody dresses travel rosters, what, 70, 75? So that's where you got to really try to, you know, do some math and kind of look at yourself versus other players. Look who's coming in. Look who they're going to get out of the portal and see where you go. And then obviously the business part is the business part. And the best way to secure business is go out there and control what you can control. And that's, you know, playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the positions you naturally look for some of that attrition is the set of positions where you just have a bunch of bodies.
Right.
Defensive backs, you know, obviously Hartsog is in there, but those guys come and go.
Yeah.
Bunch of receivers. Yep. You have, you know, three, four of them on the field at a time. Maybe someone finds one of those reasons. Yeah. And then, Jay, I think, too, the other positions where you got a bunch of names, offensive line and defensive line. Yeah. You know, with new coaches coming in at both positions, I think, you know, if I'm in one of those rooms specifically, it's, hey, here's my chance to really establish my footing. Maybe you don't gel with the coach. Maybe you thought you were better in a three down instead of a four down. I don't know. Yeah. But I think there's enough versatility. I think there's enough projectability with what Nebraska has in both those rooms that my advice to those guys would be stick it out. You have a really great opportunity to win yourself a spot and win yourself some snaps. But when new coaches come in, that's where you tend to see quite a bit of attrition. I think in the defensive backfield and in the wide receiver room, I like Coach Schwartz. I like Coach Williams. Seems like they've connected pretty well with their guys, but some attrition is just natural there. Really curious to see what happens in the trenches.
I mean, those two positions and then in the other two, the offense and defense line, is probably going to be where the spotlight is going to be. I mean, I think running back is the easiest position to find somebody that needs an opportunity, because you might, like, there might be your starting running back out of the guys that are still here. There might be a Kenneth Walker III somewhere else, right? So that's a little bit easier to find a guy, and obviously depending on what you view moving forward out of that position you need. It's also what I think this is Coach Schwartz and obviously Coach Williams, really their first time going in the portal. So you'll get, you know, I know they brought, I mean, he brought Dane Key with him, but I'm talking about going in the portal now.
Like, right? Actually having to do your own digging.
This is what I want out of the portal. This is a guy. This is what I expect from him, and I don't really know him, so this, you know, whether they bring him in or not, and for both of them, right, you know, they've been able to do a good enough job of coaching the guys that they presently have, along with Marshall coming in obviously on the defensive back and Dane Key, and obviously Hunter on the offensive side. But now this is the first time that you're going to be able to go in and kind of, you know, shop for yourself if you have to, and then obviously then you're recruiting to that same body type, skill set. So then that's where, when you have guys in a plethora of young, good talent, it's not even a bad thing if they decide to leave. They just understand, like, I need to get on the field, especially at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
It's a good problem to have, but it's a bad problem to have, because you got Hunter coming back, Barney, you got Keelan Smith, you got
Quinn Clark,
Jones. So that's six right there for sure. And I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
Is Demetrius Bell still around? Yeah.
I'm not sure, but that's six right there. Legit, like, really talented young players. And that's not even counting, you know, what you're bringing in. You know, one of the guys that might be able to, you know, crack the lineup. So, you know, you just got to keep an eye on that. And obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Nebraska, what position they try to get and what position can they get first. Because I think when you get in there, and I'm assuming they're going to be very strategic. They're going to try to probably – it's like free agency in the NFL. You're going to get in there and get the couple big ones that you want. Maybe you draw back and kind of like New England Patriots, wait till you can bargain shop to where you can save yourself some money and get some guys that maybe if it money dried up at their certain position groups, and then go from there.
I don't want to stir anything up. I have no inside knowledge or anything. But if I ask you right now, Jay, just simple yes or no. Is Corey Barney Jr. on the roster next year?
Ooh. I think a lot depends on. Well, I would tend to say yes because he's playing in the bowl game.
Yeah. Usually good indicator.
Yeah. I would say I was gonna say, well, let's see what happens in the bowl game, but he's already playing. I don't think the game is gonna make a big difference. I think if I had to bet, I would say yes, unless somebody comes in and offers them, you know, money that Nebraska can't or is willing to pay.
What's gone right for Ja'Cory Barney through 2 years, and what do you think would need to change for him in year three in Nebraska?
I think your sophomore year is the hardest year, because especially when you play early as a freshman, and it's because you come in, you're new on the scene, you have some, you know, good numbers, and, you know, he was able to, you know, I think he had 50 catches the first year. And so now everybody's thinking you need to have 150 the next year. And then it's a byproduct of you bringing in more talented players, you know, with Hunter and Key. And then you have the emergence of Emmett Johnson in the pass game. So that's another receiver. Then you have Lindenmeyer that did a really good job, especially early in the season. So it was a little bit of lack of opportunities. And then when he got his opportunities, you know, I think he started to get a little bit more volume at the end of the season. And so it's just probably that sophomore, I wouldn't say slump, but actually now it's a respect thing. People know where you're at. And you're not going to catch anybody by surprise. Now, what can he get better at? He's not going to get any bigger. I think that's part of his attributes of being wiry, strong, and slim is what makes him dangerous. He doesn't take a lot of clean hits, and he's a tough kid. So I think I'm sure without watching tape, I'm just going to assume or just kind of guesstimate when I'm looking at his game, probably route running and making guys miss. And I think that actually can be kickstarted by, and I don't really know, but I'm just thinking of a way that you can accelerate that process is probably knowing the defensive scheme just that much better and how they're trying to defend what you're doing on offense. Mm-hmm. So then that'll allow you to play faster, then put you in more positions that when you're at advantage to make guys miss, then you get your, then that shows your athletic ability, which we've seen at times.
Yeah. It's a guy that I think knows pretty well what route to run, but how to run it against a defense, how to continue to get open. I think that the biggest thing for me would be make guys miss, except Jay. What if he just doesn't have it in him? If he's not going to get bigger, if he can't get much stronger, you can be tough without being strong. Like Ja'Cory Barney Jr. has gotten popped a few times and gotten right back up. Tough kid. Yeah. I have no doubts about his toughness. But Nebraska seems to want to use him east and west. And if you struggle to make guys miss, that tells me maybe you need to be more north and south.
Yeah.
But when you're only 6 foot, I don't know if he's a true 6 foot, if they round up, whatever it is. I don't know. I've never stood next to him.
He's basketball 6 foot.
Okay, basketball 6 foot. I mean, is that a guy that you would want to move outside with his speed? Do you think you have enough on the outside that you like him in the slot? And if he is, you know, a truer slot guy, are there any examples of guys who are at their best, you know, going vertical instead of maybe horizontal and middle of the field in the slot, right? Like what does success look like for Ja'Cory Barney Jr. if he stays as more of an inside receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to study how to, I mean, look, he has a skill set that poses problems against safeties, linebackers, and nickels. So you got to probably, you know, use part of the offseason on how to get him the ball and put him in positions of where he can take advantage of his God-given, you know, skills and abilities. And so that's what part of the offseason is for. That's why I say, you know, there's no days off for these coaches. They got to figure out ways to maximize this roster in order to keep this train moving in the right direction. And so that's part of it. You know, you have a really good player, a good talent, young player that wants to get back on track and he wants to get his volume of catches up. And you want those volume of catches to coincide with more explosive plays or being a more of a vertical threat to, and that's going to open up everybody else. And so, you know, maybe it's the offensive philosophy. Maybe it's finding, maybe it's like a conscious effort to get him a couple attempts or targets early in the game. So, you know, you can be more effective when he gets the ball or if he doesn't get it early. So, I mean, that skill set probably going to be appealing to people, but also I think that he realizes, okay, there's a big opportunity for him with Dane Key leaving. And I'm sure he's probably had some discussions. I'm just with Coach Dana and obviously Shorts on how to, you know, become a better player. I think one of the things you need to look at and definitely focus on if you're going in a portal is make sure that you know your weaknesses, and obviously you want to obviously accentuate your strengths, because if you don't know your weaknesses, then you will be rinse and repeat no matter where you're at.
The other thing I think for him is going to be the chemistry with the new quarterback, assuming that he stays, because was it Michigan State or was it Maryland, the one who broke his route off and then started going upfield as Dylan was scrambling to his right and led to a big play? Yeah. You know, we had the roommate connection, and all Ja'Cory and Dylan are super tight.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, you can't learn to work with another quarterback, but it's not going to be his best friend, Dylan Raiola.
No, but walking back through that door. You can get that pretty good in the offseason. I'm sure he has a pretty good relationship with TJ, and TJ's obviously well-liked and respected with everybody on the team.
Well, and especially for a guy like TJ Latif, and if that's where Nebraska wants to go, is with a more mobile quarterback.
So you're going to have to play off schedule, and you're going to have to be, and that really actually opens it up for him. So, yeah, I think he'll be on the roster. I mean, if it was me and I knew I was leaving, you know.
I'm not playing
the bowl game. So I think he'll be here. He should be here. I think it's the best place for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, they know that he could be a, you know, pretty good player, a dynamic player, and they need to get him the rock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's that time of year. And I don't think Nebraska will have, I don't think they'll have like a mass exodus or, you know, and I think you'll probably see some of the bottom of the roster go. And try to play, you know what I mean? Like, say you've been injured for a couple of years, or you just kind of like, all right, they brought in, and like, say if it was me, I hadn't played that much. They bring in two linebackers out of the portal. They got Dawson Merritt and Shavers, and I'm down here at number five, and then I can't even, you know, I'm third team no matter what I do. So then you might want to go to another school and try to, you know, play.
I think you're onto something there, and I think that fits exactly what Matt Rhule wants Nebraska to be about, where the transfer portal is a reality. But I also think that the way Matt Rhule wants to run his program is to have as few departures in offseason as possible. I mean, think about when Matt Rhule first came in. seemed like there's a relatively low number of guys that transferred out that stuck around and played for him, and he's going to credit that class for a lot, I think, as long as he's at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Things don't necessarily go their way year one. You can tell they're knocking on the doorstep. You know, at how many other schools does Dylan Raiola leave?
Yeah.
Maybe it's something contractual. Maybe it wasn't. But you're the savior, the promised one, whatever have you, at the quarterback position. Oh, only 5-7. There's not enough talent around me. I got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Prioritize my future. He stuck around.
Yeah.
You know, that's not nothing. So I do think that for as much as Nebraska utilizes the transfer portal and has guys leave, I do think that Matt Rhule is going to try to make it
hard.
You know, he's going to try to minimize the negative downsides of it.
Yeah, I think he's going to. I mean, listen, they have a great setup here. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to leave. You're well taken care of. And so, you know, that's a plus. And so I think he knows and everybody else knows, you know, including Coach Rhule, you know, retention is key. That's how you're able, older teams and teams that, you know, have a high retention rate is pretty, it ends up with a pretty good season. So we got a couple texts here. Ohio Husker is talking about Barney using him kind of like Steve Smith did, or they used Steve Smith at the early part of his career for the Panthers. I think that's right, because the Panthers had Ricky Prohl and Mashin Muhammad as their two outside guys, and Steve Smith was killing guys in the slot. That's how he got started. And it was vertical on linebackers, on safeties, and he was really – and then they put him in more – gave him more space run after the catch. So that could be something.
I like it.
Old Dad 34 said, what's your opinion – what's your opinions on the O-line coach? It should be coaches.
Yeah.
They both come in with a, you know, good pedigree. I mean, obviously, you know, Coach Wade coming from Georgia Tech and the way that they were able to, you know, develop linemen, be physical and all that stuff and give up a low amount of sacks. So, you know, and he seems to have good energy when, you know, I only listen to him on the Husker, you know, network thing. And, so I think he'll do well. I think he probably, I know he's well respected and in the coaching business, you know, as far as like his ability to coach, develop, and have an eye for talent. So I think he'll do well. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't.
It's always funny to me, just at first blush, and then I think about it and it's not funny. It makes sense. When you talk about an offensive line coach, you know, being a better fit for the play calling and the scheme, you know, like I laugh because, well, your job's to block people.
Yeah, I know. That's
how many different schemes you possibly have, but then, you know, you think about it. Okay, fine, sure, maybe this play caller likes to run, you know, inside-outside zone. Maybe they're more duo. Maybe they're more gap, whatever it is, you know, and some guys just have the tips and tricks, maybe, as offensive line coaches that fit in a little bit better. But it without fail, cracks me up when you talk about blocking schemes and, you know, offensive line coach being a better fit with the offense. Just block someone.
Yeah.
Is there really anything wrong with that?
Yeah. And that's where you got to really, you know, it'll be interesting to see as this goes, your portal class, and here are the guys that were, you know, taking the low-hanging fruit and always talking about the offensive line when there was other issues that were probably bigger.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the easy thing to do when you either obviously don't watch the game with a good enough eye or don't do your job and know what you're talking about is to talk about the offensive line.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, people were saying, okay, the quarterback held on the ball too long. You can't hold on the ball if you're not getting blocked, or guys aren't getting blocked.
Right.
You can't have good rushing numbers unless you block people. Now, Emmett made a lot of those yards on his own.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add one little caveat to what you're saying, that first part, right? You can't hold on to the ball too long if there's not blocking. You know, yes, I will say maybe there's some of the anticipatory throwing. We're getting better at throwing guys open, mm-hmm. where it turns into you holding the ball too long. Because again, in the NFL, 2.5 seconds is a win. Yes. It's on your receivers winning early, and sometimes they're not open. But if you've made the right diagnosis pre-snap, you confirm it, you know, with any motion or anything post-snap, well, then maybe your blocking isn't elite. But if your guy wins early and you just don't trust him enough to throw him the ball, or you're slow getting to him, you know, maybe your O-line did get beat early, but you still could have gotten the ball out with a better process.
Yeah.
But that's probably a small percentage of
the situation. And it's also coincide with, if it's quick game, then the ball needs to come out, then the quarterback needs to win. Offensive line is blocking a certain way based on the play call. But it'd be interesting to see how these how people obviously evaluate it, you know, moving forward. But I think he's a good coach. I think he'll do well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tyler Kanak is the only one talked about it. It seems like he's captured their attention. So that lets you know he commands the room, and he definitely knows what he's doing. And you know, as far as like Mariners as a system, the only thing I could see is like maybe, you know, coordinators used to slide protection based on the route tree and protection in the quarterback. It's all the same. Now you got to teach it a little bit different, you know, how you go about getting to the end game and blocking. Mm-hmm. Then that's where you can really separate yourself.
Sure.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we'll see. I think you'll do well. I think, you know, I think the how you make the coach look good is going out there and playing good.
Right.
So, you know, I think the players need to take it upon themselves, you know, to no matter what they thought about, you know, Coach Donnie getting fired or anything like that. And if they feel like, you know, they, you know, really close to him, the best way you can pay back to him is to go do a good job moving forward because you're representing him and you're representing Coach Wade. So,
right.
I think, look, you reestablish the offensive line. It should make your defensive line better. You go from there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where it's at. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, who they retain and how they retain them on the present day roster and who they look for coming forward. I think you could gain some players potentially. I want to say potentially, if guys that were kind of maybe stuck in the mud in the 3-3-5 find new light in the 4-3 or 4-man front.
Yeah.
And that does happen. Sometimes you're playing in a position and you don't know how to get out of it, you know, be your best out of it because they're very mm-hmm. young. They were very young.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a lot of playing experience to lean back on. And then you get into something that you're more familiar with. You can see some guys take off.
A couple names that would come to mind for me in that Cam Lenhart.
Yep.
Maybe more traditional 4-3 yep. guy who had his moments. And then the last we have this one, Jay, Keona Davis.
Yeah.
You know, is that a guy that you think is, you know, best served playing inside or outside? Inside in a four, outside in a three.
I think he can play. He could play a 3 and a 4-3, but I think he can play like an elephant in, you know, power end in a 4-3. Mm. Especially okay. because maybe if he's carrying a little bit too much weight and he's got good get off and say you can get down to your natural fighting weight.
Oh. Okay.
So mm-hmm. an example for me is like, just say I generally played around 240, but say I always had to constantly work and I couldn't carry 240 easily at playing linebacker. But my natural walking weight is 215. Then all of a sudden now I'm a different safety.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think they got potential to gain. That's what this practice in this game is. You know, I mean, man, this should be, you talking about being keyed up as a young player.
Right. A guy with a lot to prove as well, Riley Van Poppel. Right. Sounds like he's been practicing better, earned right. a black shirt over sure. the course of it. Interesting game to monitor for the second offseason in a row.
Yeah, and well, this is it. Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is a big step, hopefully in the right direction for him. This is it. But that's why I'm saying, you're talking about being keyed up. And if you had kind of been like internalizing your struggles in the 3-3-5, then it's not showing well on the field. Now you feel more comfortable in a 4-3. You can play to your kind of skill set. And if you want to lock down a spot, I know there's going to be a lot of D linemen going to portal, but there's not a lot of D linemen that the last impression is the lasting impression.
Yeah.
So when the coaches are evaluating it and you play good in this game and you practice good, first of all, you practice and done everything you needed to do to a higher level leading up to it, then you play well. That's what they're thinking, because now you've given them an excuse to exclude or not exclude, to really rationalize your lack of production all season. Oh, well maybe it's on us. We should have been playing a fourth. You know, we should have been doing it. Maybe we should have done it in the first place. All the you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if you get a bunch of guys like that, you can go into offseason thinking like, okay, we can be a lot better. You're still going to bring some guys in because we need some depth. But more importantly, I think you can really maximize this talent a lot more. Because they got more talent than at times what they played, especially the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you got to get guys in the right position. You got to get guys to believe in you, and they got to earn your respect, and you got to earn theirs. And then once that's all happened, then you just let them go out there and do their thing. So, anyways, good first segment. We're going to take a quick break. Come back, me and Austin Orman. We're going to talk about this Bama-Oklahoma game.
Woo!
We're going to do pick 'em.
All right.
So, everybody on the text line, we're picking these games right now. I need some help because I
call Steve Stevens.
I need Steve. I'm not betting, but
oh, just picking.
I think I'm out of the woods of losing the stake bet, but I had the grasp of the championship, but I've lost it.
Oh no.
So now I got to either start taking some risky bets or I just got to be okay with being a,
and also
second or third place. But I don't like losing anything. But anyways, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman.
Second segment, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. It is on here. You know, this is like a national championship here coming up. Bama, woo, Oklahoma, two blue bloods at Oklahoma. Bama looking for a little redemption. Oklahoma trying to validate themselves. Bama not playing well on offense the last few months. Who knows if you lose, you could lose your coach to Michigan of all places.
Right.
A lot on the line. Ryan Williams, where are you right now? Are you on TikTok? Are you playing with like your little toys or something that you do? Your little stress dolls. Are you on the fashion runway? Mateer, are you healthy? Defense of Oklahoma, are you ready? Bama, can you get 20? What's the over-under on Bama total rushing yards?
Oh, gosh, under.
50? Everybody included. Reverses, jet sweeps, quarterback run, and conventional run.
Marching band. Yards.
Yeah, anybody. Punter, fake punt. Yeah, it's going to be,
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I mean, it's a 1.5. I mean, Oklahoma's favored by 1.5. That's nothing.
Which would tell you Vegas thinks that Bama's the better team, but you give
but you just don't know the
home field goal.
Yeah,
to Oklahoma.
And you just don't know if Bama's going to. I mean, the offense has been suspect
at best.
But I think they're going to do something.
I think
they're going to do something.
How has the month off, the 3 weeks off, treated them? Because that was not pretty in the Iron Bowl. 3 extra weeks for Mateer's health, you know, in the hand. Don't hate that for Oklahoma at all. If we get the John Mateer that we were promised before the year, and the one that started the year out balling pretty well, Oklahoma can win this one by 10 at the moment.
So let me ask you this.
But?
Does DeBoer wear the black hoodie on the road?
Man, don't you have to? Pull out all the stops.
You might have to wear black shoes.
I still trust DeBoer more than I do Venables.
I do too.
Black hoodie or not. I don't know. I mean, is this first to like 17 wins?
20.
Sure.
I can see this being a rock fight.
Bama just has not been playing well. I just don't know how these 3 weeks off have been treating him. So I think Bama's probably better in a vacuum than Oklahoma. It's hard to beat a team twice. But being at home, if Mateer's healthy, and if Alabama still can't run the ball.
I know. That's the thing.
It's
going to be 55 degrees in Norman, Oklahoma. So that means the second half is going to be about 38 degrees.
Woo! Football weather, baby.
I don't know.
If you ask me right now, I probably take Oklahoma. By virtue of being at home, I like Simpson. I don't love him. And you mentioned Ryan Williams, you know. Wherefore art thou, Romeo Williams, Ryan Williams? I mean,
Oklahoma on a 4-game win streak. They've beaten Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU, so they come in more battle-tested. Alabama is, they lost to Oklahoma. Well, before that, they beat LSU. They lost to Oklahoma. They beat the, I don't know, EIU. I don't know what that is. That's 56.
Is that Eastern Illinois, maybe?
Yeah, 56. No, that don't count. Beat Auburn by one score, and then got trounced by Georgia.
In the game that wasn't as close as the score told you, and it wasn't close on the scoreboard.
Right. But you got a month off.
Yeah. I like DeBoer and Simpson more than I do Venables and Mateer. But do I like him enough on the road? I just don't think I can do it, Jay.
Auburn game was on the road. But, man, I mean, Oklahoma at home, you've only scored 17 points twice.
See, that's a problem.
I'm going Bama.
Bama's defense is still good too.
I'm going Bama. I think Kalen DeBoer. If you ever want to prove that you locked in to Bama, tonight's the night. if they come out there sloppy, bad play calling, bad like clock management, he in Michigan already. He yeah. just waiting for it to be over. He just like just looking at the game. I'm going to Ann Arbor.
Hmm. I still think I roll Oklahoma. Close. Give me a classic, and I mean classic. Alabama missed field goal, though.
Been
too long since we've had a killer missed field goal from Alabama.
I'm going Bama. I'm going Bama because the Simpson is going to get healthy or has gotten healthy. He still could turn pro.
Could.
A big game like this, he's right back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been more consistent all year.
He has been.
And he's healthy. And they got Proctor and they got Bernard. And if Williams wants to go do TikToks in the locker room, go right ahead. We don't need a running game. I'm going Bama. I'm going Bama by 6 or more points. Roll Tide.
I looked this up just because I was curious. Not that history means everything. If you look at Oklahoma's website, Oklahoma says they are 5-1 against Alabama all time. 2-2 at home, or 2-0 at home, 2-0 on the road, 2-0 in conference. They also say they have not played before 2002. If you look at Alabama's website, Jay, Alabama says that they are 2-5-1 against Oklahoma. Alabama includes two games from the 1900s. January 1st, 1962, a 17-0 Crimson Tide win, and 1970 on New Year's Eve in Houston, a 24-24 tie. But what both sides do agree on is that Oklahoma is 5-1 against Alabama in the 2000s. They won it by 10 in 2002, by a touchdown in Tuscaloosa in 2003. Didn't play again until 2013, the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, 45-31. Alabama wins that one. And then the 2018 college football playoff, Alabama wins that one in a shootout, 45-34. But Oklahoma has won both matchups as a member of the SEC.
Yeah, I'm still not believing it, though. I think it's
just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Third time's the charm for Bama, maybe?
Yeah. They coming. And what's that dude, the Bama fan, Willie? He's going to the game, too. I'm going Bama. Let's move on, Austin. Probably the game of the weekend besides this one. The two best games are played back-to-back, obviously tonight and then tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Miami at Texas A&M, 11 a.m. early start on the road.
Mm-hmm.
A&M favored by 3.5. Who do you got?
I know you're rolling with the Canes. So allow me to make the devil's advocate case for A&M. Looked really good for the first 11 weeks of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Need to learn how to finish and bounce back, right? A&M's been in this position a lot. Really great regular season just to lose it at the end. I do think there's some pressure on them to validate the regular season that they had. Falling all the way down to number 7 is not a great look for a team that was there. The other saving grace, I think, for A&M, Jay, is that I just don't trust Carson Beck, who has been playing better. You know, it's been better for him over the last month and change. I don't know how much I trust Marcel Reed necessarily, but there's a world where Miami gives this one away late, where Beck throws two picks and, you know, loses a fumble or something like that. Because yeah. I do think that this A&M defense is fine, gets away with some stuff, I think, at times.
Yeah.
The issue for A&M comes in the trenches. Like, Miami's for real. If A&M can't handle that, it could be a long day for the Aggies.
See, I think the only way the Aggies win is if Miami comes down there and just Dookie's down their leg and they get up big. I trust probably Reed more than Beck, but okay. I think the counter to that is Bain.
He's an equalizer.
I think that's the counter. I think the Miami speed is different. So I think if it's a close game, it's advantage Miami. If it's I think Texas A&M only, they'll beat them by more than 3.5 points.
So are you excusing away what Carson Beck looked like against Louisville?
I think they got their miscommunications with receivers done and
figured out.
And you don't know this because you don't follow the Canes. I got this from my dad. He cut his hair off. So you know exactly what you know exactly what that means. He said he's on a mission. Yeah. He said, I had fun in South Beach. I got to do what I got to do. I'm locked in.
Locks off means yeah, locks in.
He locked in. So I'm going, I'm going to Canes.
All right.
Next game, the missing coaching coaches bowl, right? Tulane at Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to beat the brakes off him. I think it's going to be tough sledding at the beginning just because, you know, Lane's not there.
Yeah.
But I think eventually Ole Miss will get it going, and it'll be a legendary game for them because this is the farthest they've kind of done in this recent college football playoff.
Yeah. I think if Ole Miss and its players come out upset, angry, that can be a good thing or a bad thing for them. I think there's a world where, you know, Tulane can get out to a double-digit lead.
We've seen it before, though.
We have. But it's going to be important for Tulane to remember that field goals don't win games.
Yeah.
Tulane's got to go for broke. They got to shoot the water.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go for it. If you're up 14-0, or you can stretch that into 17-0 with turnovers or whatever, if Ole Miss comes out slow, that's huge. If you're only up 10-0, that's nothing to an offense like Ole Miss that can put up points in the blink of an eye. If it gets to 14-0 Tulane, I'll raise my eyebrow. Otherwise, I do think Ole Miss will have enough to put it in cruise control probably late third, early fourth.
Yeah, and we got one more game. Obviously, James Madison going all the way up to Oregon. I think when you look at their social media post, James Madison knows this is going to be a beatdown, and which is weird because I think the Chesney's coaching too, right?
Is he?
I think so. But even if he's not, Dan Lanning's such a psychopath. I think they win by way more than 20 points. I think they try to make a statement. I think Oregon thinks they should have gotten a bye.
Chesney will be coaching.
Yeah, but I think Oregon is going to try to impose their will and make a huge statement.
I think they need to.
Yeah.
For that external validation we talked about yesterday. Oregon's in improvement mode.
Yeah, and Dan Lanning is a psychopath.
Full-fledged.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a blowout city. What sucks about the playoffs is that it's great that you have Tulane and James Madison in, and congratulations to them. It's great for the programs because they get in, they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just sucks that they're on the road at two dangerous places where they're most likely going to get blown out.
Would you give James Madison more of a chance if this was a neutral site game, not having to travel cross country?
Neutral site game, yeah. More of a chance. Better showing. I give him more of a chance on the road at another team. Like if James Madison was going down to Ole Miss, I'd give him a better chance.
Sure.
You're playing an Oregon team that Dan Lanning's had a couple weeks to get motivated. Oof.
We know he can do that.
He's going to have him. He's going to have him in there at home. That's a long trip for James Madison.
Long
trip. Yeah. So, but it's great for those schools there. I'm sure they get, you know, there's financial, obviously ramifications for it that helps them out a lot. So, you know, congratulations to them.
I think at the very least too, I think, outside of revenue from the game and appearing, I think what I saw was the college football playoff gives the road teams like a $2 or $3 million travel stipend.
Yeah.
And think about how much of that Tulane's going to be able to bank going down to Oxford compared to James Madison having to ship everything all the way to Eugene.
Yeah, that and how you look for these kids. It's essentially a bowl game, but you're playing on a home site of the home team. But the first time, maybe they get to travel differently going to those, you know, up to, you know, Tulane or up to Oregon and obviously down to Ole Miss. Because I think about, remember with Deion and them, they went down in the Dallas and they played and they took that. You know, and they needed it getting out of Colorado. And he was like, look, you win, you get this. And then, you know, they got beaten. He was like, we need to fly coach home. But you know, it took the same plane. But that's what happens when you make it to college football playoffs. There's big time experiences, big time upgrade in travel. And that's what you work all season for.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the games. Obviously, we picked Austin and me disagreed. I got Bama. He got Oklahoma. I got the Canes. You got.
Yeah, fine. I'll do it. I'll take Miami.
I'll do it.
I was trying to make the case for A&M, but you talked me into Miami.
You got the Cane. Okay. We got two Canes over here, and then obviously easy picks, Ole Miss and Oregon. So we'll see what we got next week after it is all said and done. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, put a bow on this week and on Old School on this Friday. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. Real quick segment before we turn it over to my man Austin on corner three, which is now one of the easiest shots to make in basketball. It used to be the hardest shot by the stats. Now, see when Steph Curry does it, everybody else starts to practice. Austin, I want to ask you about bowl games real quick. Since bowl games cost teams money for the travel stipend and you get fined if you don't participate. Do you think this trend will be essentially will make it the college football playoff to expand, and then the other bowl games will go away? Like the Union Home and Mortgage,
Gasparilla Bowl,
Myrtle Beach Bowl, and all that stuff.
I long for a time that it was just fun to go to bowl games and we didn't have to wring our hands about profit margins and whatnot. We know there's a four-letter company that puts on a lot of these bowls that sponsors them, that's got plenty of money, that's thrown its weight behind, you know, the 12-team playoff more so than the entirety of bowl season like it used to. That's a bummer for me. What's not a bummer is players getting paid long overdue. What is a bummer is that schools use that as a justification to say, well, this money's got to go to the players. You know, we don't have this money for our travel budget to go to this bowl game. So due to financial considerations, anything you can give us won't be enough. You know, we'll still be losing money playing in this bowl. I do think there is still some value in getting your name out there, even if it does cost you a little bit of money. Maybe it's, you know, a couple million, a couple hundred thousand. I don't know what the profit margins or losses would be for some of these programs, but I wish there would be more of a push to make going to bowl games more conducive for these schools instead of giving them reasons to opt out, give them reasons to want to go.
Yeah. And sometimes you got to go down there. Like I think I saw the Texas San Antonio coach who just got out of the bowl game and he's like, I got like 20 guys going into portal. Our team would look significantly different. But he said, you know what? I'm going to go down there with the team I got and we're going to compete. Sometimes you might have to do that. Now, then also, I think for the people have to understand the roster. Like when Florida State played Georgia that 1 year, they had all those guys opt out. You can't evaluate Mike Norvell without any of his big-time pieces. You got to just take it on the chin and hopefully move on from there. I don't think they've really recovered since.
And no one wants games like that.
No.
Right.
And the bowl committee should know that too.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, I would hope that the players that went still had a good experience game notwithstanding. I'm sure that's going to color their opinion of it for a long time, getting beat 65-3, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
But I hope the lead up to the game was fine. I hope that they had some good practices and that they learned something from at least going out and competing. They were clearly overmatched.
Yeah.
Clearly. Doesn't mean it was the wrong decision to accept the bowl bid.
Yeah. You got to accept the bowl bid and you'd like to think that you could develop and train from there. But, like you said, I like it that you get some incentives for guys to go. And obviously, you know, this is where you got to really prepare your teams to play. Maybe push all the bowl games back. You know, I think when you have coaching changes and you have quick bowl games, I think you're not going to get a good product.
Yeah.
And maybe you trim some of them out of it. But I think some of those bowl games, even though the smaller bowls, they bring a lot of money to those cities. So you don't want to have the indirect negative effect on some of the smaller cities.
I'd love to know too if this is just a concern for your Power Four programs or how it benefits your Group of Five schools.
Right.
I mean, if you want to throw a bone to the Group of Fives or say, hey, here's another chance for us to spotlight you, maybe you reduce the number of Power Four bowls, expand the playoff that way, but say, hey, you know, Group of Five, and I don't love this idea, but I could see a world in which you expand playoff access for the Power Four by making it bigger, opening up more spots in bowls for a group of five teams,
for sure.
Potentially.
Potentially. And maybe do them by regional and take all the rankings out so you cut on the travel costs and so forth and so on. If you're making a ton of money with the expansion of the playoffs, you can kick some money back to them to be an incentive to keep it on the network. So anyways, we got an hour away before Bama is at Oklahoma. We'll see what happens there at 7 o'clock. But we're going to turn it over to my man Austin, the corner three. So I am leaving. He will be here. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Old school, the new school way. Enjoy your weekend. We'll holler at you next week.
Stuck in a dinner rut? Let Cook Unity handle dinner with chef-crafted meals delivered right to your door. Cook Unity makes it easy with new menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Plus over 400 flavorful meals for every palate. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.